The 2023-24 hockey season is in full swing, and your Dallas Stars need you at American Airlines Center to help bring the intensity.
Shot, tip, score!
Don't miss your chance to experience the electrifying environment that Texas hockey has to offer this season. From huge hits to savage saves, American Airlines Center is the place to be as the Stars look towards the Stanley Cup. Secure your seats today at DallasStars.com.
Previously on the Podman Rush. What a start for Logan Stankoven.
I think he stepped right into that spotlight and said, all right, bring it on.
It's a time where you just, you need some heroes.
The coaches always say your best players have to be your best players.
Their ability to come back in games, they've had that for multiple years.
You know, I think a lot of us are focused on Tanev.
We didn't have zip codes until 1963.
What does zip mean? Is that an acronym?
Welcome to the Podman Rush, the official podcast of the Dallas Stars, presented by Kingsville Brewery. Let's join the rush with your hosts, Daryl Razor Ray and Mike Hyka.
Rats and bats and feral cats and ferocious comebacks. That's what we're leading with in this pre-trade deadline edition of the Podman Rush. That is what you call an intro, Mike Hyka. It's terrific to have you here in San Jose in the boardroom. That's where we're emanating from. As we, I guess, discuss and cut up what has gone on, what might go on, what is, what never was, what might be. But I want to first start with rodents who have been inhabitants in various NHL arenas through the years. A rat was here in San Jose at SAP at San Jose, or whatever they call it. It's the Shark Tank. There was a rat in there. People were scurrying because of this rat.
I find it a little humorous because you see the squirrels out on your lawn and think, oh, they're so adorable and cute. Then you see a rat who just doesn't have a bushy tail and you're like, ah! Well, you do that. I don't.
Let's never make that noise again, Mike. So it reminded me of the Florida Panthers, who turned rats into a playoff epic. What was that? In the pantheon of playoffs, has there ever been anything close to what went on in South Florida during that run?
No, it was fantastic.
Like, it was the Scott Mellenby rat trick.
Correct.
Takes a stick to a rat. Speaking of rats in arenas.
In the locker room.
Yes. And that finished off. He had two goals in the game and then smacked that one dead. And then it just took off. And those pictures of fans in Florida pelting Tom Barrasso. They were playing the Pittsburgh Penguins in the play. Like, pelting the goaltender of the Penguins with rubber rats. Like, it was insane.
Yes. It's one thing to throw an octopus or two. But these were thousands of plastic rats.
And I'll be honest, at the time, I was like, you know what? Were we the no fun league now? How can we? Nobody's going to get hurt by a plastic rat.
No.
And then you think to yourself and you're like, man, that was ludicrous. Why did they not stop it in its tracks then? I guess they couldn't.
It's Miami. Things happen down there. It's crazy.
That was fun. And then the other one I was thinking of was, do you remember that bat? Was that at the Odd in Buffalo? And then was it one of the members of the French Connection that actually whacked it? Or was it Jerry Korab or Schoenfeld, or who was it?
I don't remember.
But there was a bat wafting around. And it was foggy. It was always foggy at the Odd, it seemed like. And then all of a sudden just murdered out of midair. Loved it. I'm reminded also that cats eat mice. And do you remember the black cat in Nashville at the beginning of the playoffs? I think they were playing San Jose. And that cat came. Everyone was freaking out. It was like, oh my God, what kind of a curse is this going to be? Who does this affect more? Which team was he in front of the bench of? And
we are superstitious people,
yeah,
and
are.
Athletes
we are.
Are the worst.
Well, the Stars are leaning more toward the insect world to me, once again, they showed off their cockroach quality last night at the tank. They just won't die. This time coming back from 6-3 down late to win 7-6 in overtime. And with that, we of course need to talk about the 2021s. Drafted in 2021, Wyatt Johnston, Logan Stankoven. One is 20, the other 21. How about that? Huh?
It fits.
I went to bed last night, Mike. Look at this stuff I've come up with. So 20 and 21 from 2021. Good Lord. Good Lord. What do we have?
You're a numerologist, aren't you?
Yeah, well, a little bit. Yeah.
All of this is, it fits. The universe is telling you something.
Should have one of those 1-800 numbers in the middle of the night, cable television.
You'd still be up because your brain is always working.
True. Hey, look. Last night they were Roy Scheider character from Jaws. The orca. What was the orca? Be like, I guess the stars in general. Maybe Otter. he was the boat.
He was taking on water.
It was leaking a little. It was going down. You could call the vets. Some of them were having a tough time last night. They would be Quint.
Yeah.
The old captain who met his demise. Dead-legged or dead. The marine biologist, Richard Dreyfuss.
Excellent role. Well, one of them has to be that, right?
Who?
Doesn't one of the two
no,
kids?
No, I'm combining them.
Okay.
I'm combining them as the police chief.
Because they're both holding the
maybe
rifle
Miro
together.
Was the marine biologist?
Yeah, he did have four assists.
Yeah, and he was in the cage a couple of times.
He was.
Surprisingly so.
You got attacked, it all tied together.
Got attacked in the cage. So Wyatt and Logan just rammed an air tank into the shark's mouth. They leaned over on that bow of a severely listing boat, which was the good ship Stars. And then they squeezed off around into the tank and they blew los tiburones to bits.
It was fun.
It was insane.
Think of the people who watched.
Think of the people that woke up this morning that went to bed. So a hat trick and a 5-point night for Johnston. 2 goals and 2 assists for Stankoven. That didn't even tell the whole story of Logan's night. And he was going to stay. If that overtime was 15 minutes long, Logan would have stayed out there for 14 of the 15 minutes.
All praise to Roope Hintz, but boy, it would have been nice if one of those two would have ended in overtime. Because they had some chances there.
Oh, my God. Both overtimes against them. Logan hit a post Saturday night in that. You can see the Superman syndrome seep in, though, right?
Yes.
Like, there are guys standing one leg over the boards at the Stars bench, probably rattling the gate door. Time to change. But tough to change when you have possession and you're on the attack. And
you're not, like, you're not tired.
Not tired, no.
At
exuberant,
I mean, like he's
energetic.
Yes.
That was the big part of them in general last night. They had a different energy than almost everybody else on the Stars, and we're like ignoring Jamie, which I feel awful about. He's the other part of things, and he was fantastic last night. But man, it's tough to just take your eyes away or avert your eyes from the 2021s. Two right shots. I love this too, Mike. When they score, there's like a subdued, as the kids call it, celly.
Yes.
Like even Logan, when he scored his first NHL goal, it was like, yeah. And to me, there's an air of, well, yeah, I mean, I kind of expect to do that. Let's not, you know, leap into the glass or anything here and go nuts. This is going to happen repeatedly.
I've done this before.
And you're like, well, apparently it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes within the same game. I'm going to dub them the precocious princes of percipience. It's alliteration, and it's also oh so apropos.
Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I'm going to start saying it every single time that I refer to them.
Well, it's a little wordy for that, but I appreciate your support on the precocious princes of percipients.
Are they two princes?
Yeah, they're princes.
From, like, the spin doctors? You know, princes? You don't like when I sing, do you?
Like, what is the ceiling for these two?
Well, that's... And again, this is just me being a stupid fan, but how much better is Wyatt now that Logan's here? It's almost like Wyatt has to be the veteran. And like, he's like, oh, look, there's a guy younger than me. I don't have to defer to anybody. I can be me. And so it's, we always talk about, you know, chemistry and how one guy makes another guy better. Boy, to start at this level, what they're doing and with the potential of where they can go helping each other. I don't know. It's impressive.
They are exactly what you need in games 60 to 68 on a veteran team. Just an injection of exuberance and youthful excitement and production.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can run around. And like, back in the day, maybe you brought a kid up and he just run around, run people, and you got some energy that way. But, I mean, these guys are taking point.
Yeah.
On
and
all
dragging
things.
People into the battle, too. We always hear about that. You know, something like you say, you know, veterans, this time of year. How do you think Chris Tanev felt walking onto the ice and seeing that?
Speaking of the debut of Chris Tanev, not an easy day or week for the newly acquired Stars defenseman. He was fine last night. I think fine was what about you would expect, right? He didn't kill penalties. He was paired with Esa Lindell. And he got into the vortex of whatever that was again last night where, I mean, just a, I have to think a bit of a surreal day, night for him, right?
Yeah.
Like you're joining a new team you've never practiced with.
Nope.
You take warm up and then you just play.
Yep.
You're in an arena that was thin with fans.
Yep.
Like almost to a level where you're like, are you sure? Like this is, I didn't get demoted down to some other league or something. Like, and it happens. We were talking about it after the game last night. Like, be careful. Like, don't throw any rocks at the Sharks' house right now, because I remember when there were 3,500 people at American Airlines Center.
Yeah.
And they were giving away cards in Detroit trying to get people to come to games.
Chicago. The entire upper bowl's empty at a 20,000 seat
3,000 people in a 20-plus thousand seat arena in the Eric Daze days there. So, like, it happens in that. But you have that. Then you have the way the game was going.
Correct.
Then you have the way the game concluded. It just, hey, welcome to Stars hockey.
You know, we've had some, you know, normal games, but there's been a lot of weird games this year.
Yeah.
And it's been great.
Yeah.
They do make it interesting.
They do, in the words of Mike Hyka, make it interesting. The Sharks elected to start Kokkonen, not Magnus Crona, and Kokkonen fell apart late. That was a magnum. I wanted so desperately to use it. Magnum opus in Dallas from Magnus Crona, the Swedish timepiece, which is a great nickname. I how about this? I saw a goggled white center in basketball has been named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That is elite level. That's top level right there. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I can't even explain how much I love creative nicknames. To a point where, have you noticed this? Hockey Reference site has started listing nicknames too.
No, that's great.
I'm not sure how accurate they are.
Yep.
But I grabbed a bunch of them here if I can find them on my device, which I probably won't be able. Oh, there they are. Here's some. So next team, Anaheim Ducks. They list Frank Vetrano, right? Or Vetrano, depending on what country you're in. It lists his nicknames as Mizzy, Grapes, Rolex, Frank the Tank, Frankie V, and the Springfield Rifle. Kevin Fiala of the LA Kings. Any guesses on his nickname according to this one?
No.
Fifi.
Ah, perfect.
Adrian Kempe, also of the Kings. Juice. This was a fun one. Anže Kopitar. Kopi. Flopitar. Raccoon Jesus. Cam Talbot, their netminder. Talbs. Cambot. T-Bot. Goalbuster. Are they true?
Who knows?
I don't know either. They're fun, though.
Who's the dainty barbarian?
Right.
See? I mean, they
ours were... I was going to get to that.
Okay.
The site for the Dallas Stars, it's as humdrum and brutal as you would think. Not a lot of creativity.
We need to punch it up.
A lot of Harls and Sags and stuff like that. Artemi Panarin of the Rangers. Bread man. Bread. Yeast mode. Not sure about that last one. Chris Kreider. Crides. Crisdale. Big jet. No pilot. I'm just reading them. Mika Zibanejad, who is a DJ and a missile clapper and a lover of locks. They call him Z, Miki, Mix, Miklo, Zibby, Zavad, Zibanegood, DJ Zbad, and Mikachu. They're all right there. Igor Shesterkin, their netminder, Shesty. The Prince, the Czar. Chris Tanev, newly acquired Stars defenseman. Any guesses? Tanny.
Like, that's a good one.
Tans. Tan Man. Now, we can actually go to the source and find out whether any of those stick. You know, we're also very creative in the division. Colorado Avalanche. Nate McKinnon. Mac. Nate Dog, the Dog, Mac Daddy, Nate the Great. Like, who is submitting all this?
Fans.
It's like Wikipedia. It's Hockey Reference.
There you go.
Mikko Rantanen, Rance, the Moose, Big Moose, Hot Wheels. Kale McCarr. Want to take a stab?
The Kaylee?
The Kid, Babyface, All Hail Kale. Babyface must be, that has to stick. He looks like a Gerber baby. Our old buddy Val Nichushkin. You want to try?
No, I do not.
Big Val.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I think that's from Dallas, is it
I
not?
Always call him Wow.
Nuke, also from Dallas. Choo-choo, the choo-choo train.
Gotcha.
Josh Manson. I like this one, Manimal. I mean, you can go down a rabbit hole and just look at all these. And I was hoping there were some creative, out-of-the-box ones for our Dallas Stars. And
we got to work on it. You, Otter. Me, like, the fans.
All of them had, if they had anything, they had one nickname in parentheses, and that was it, all the way through. Come on, let's go.
Right.
Let's go.
We've got some paper here. We've got some pens.
We should have a contest. That's not a bad idea, Mike.
We'll take a study break right now, and we'll be back with you in an hour.
Well, not in real time. I'm saying for a future one.
Okay.
So look, at the we're very Star Sharks intensive just because it was a wild, crazy night and all that. And they played back-to-back against one team. But it got me thinking, look, the loss for the Sharks, a bad one on two fronts for them. The manner, the late capitulation, the welt for the individuals, that would sting a little bit. You know, they have pride. They understand the drill and all that, but you get an opportunity to win. You're so close, and then that happens. But also, they got a point. And that would be painful for all things they're trying to do, right?
Correct.
They are in pursuit of the top pick. Likely, Macklin Celebrini was playing at Boston University. Teams that have never picked first overall.
Wow.
What do you think? How many?
It's so interesting because you look at some of the great organizations who found a way to just stink for 1 year. the Penguins, the Blackhawks, the Kings. The Kings, have they picked the first overall?
They may not yes.
have. Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
But they, because they built theirs on a couple of number two, threes in that range.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you look and see, I think the San Antonio Spurs, hello, Joe Calvillo, they find a way to be great. And then in the 1 year that they're bad, they're really bad. So there is an art to it, to get that one guy. And you have to do it at a time when that one guy is available.
Man, the pain involved, though. And
I think you and I were talking about this. Remember when we missed the playoffs 5 years in a row?
Yeah, I know.
And you're like, how did we do that? How did we get through Marches when you're like, oh, they're out? And that's got it. Like,
and could never get all the way down to where you're the team. Look, the worst record doesn't guarantee you you're going to get the first overall pick. You get more ping pong balls and you get more balls in the lotto balls. But if you look at it, the Stars' last pick first overall in
would have been Modano.
1988.
Yeah.
Mike Modano. Going to put a statue up of him.
I've heard of that guy.
Yes. The Sharks have never done it. Never had a first overall pick.
Interesting. What was Pat Falloon? Was he second overall?
Yeah.
Yeah. Best nickname ever?
Pat, the balloon?
Fat Falloon. Have you ever heard that one? Oh,
And if my very cursory research is correct, the other teams that have never picked first overall, the team we're going to see on Friday.
Okay.
How close were they to getting Sidney Crosby? Just ping pong balls, man. So Anaheim, no. Calgary, no.
Okay.
Carolina, I guess Carolina Hartford.
I would say that. Yeah, because we're still Minnesota down.
The Minnesota Wild, the Nashville Predators, the Vancouver Canucks. Trevor Linden went second Madonna in 88. And the two most recent expansion teams, Vegas and Seattle.
Yeah.
That's it.
You'd think if you're an expansion team, you should get the first overall pick. But
no, you get everything else.
I know. You're now not, you do. You didn't used to.
Now getting the first overall pick. You get entry into the league.
Yeah.
A seat at the table, I think they call it, Mike. But isn't that something? If it's correct?
Yes.
San Jose? What? No, we said that. Is he fact-checking me in the middle of the podcast?
I think somebody needs to.
The Sharks have never had it. It says it right there. The Sharks have Stars last did in 88. The Sharks have never had it. Other franchises to have never picked first overall.
I understood. The concept.
This is like my broadcast meetings. I feel like I'm back in our broadcast meetings with my crew where they call me out, and then I calmly explain to them, no, I actually didn't say that.
I believe you. I always trust your facts.
I don't blame BB at all for not hearing what I say. We're just trying to be correct here, Mike.
The fans expect.
You know why?
Because you do it every
because
year.
Because it's deadline week.
Oh.
You know, this is the week where I make my lineups in pencil so that I can erase names from my rosters as they pull and prod and change and switch and barter with one another. And we just saw one before we came into the room, right?
Pete had a funny line the other night because somebody at one of the press conferences said, people have said you have the most complete roster in the league right now. And he goes, who said that? Because he was just like, yeah, come on, tap the brakes a little bit. But then he said, he goes, I bet in a couple of days, there'll be about 8 teams who are saying they have the most complete roster in the league. Yeah. So it's a great part of what this sport does by pushing that trade deadline way back and letting the teams who are making the decision, you know what, we're not in this, you know, Calgary. I mean, you could sit there and say, they got a chance, but they also know that they've got assets that can be dealt. And then those assets go to some pretty darn good teams.
That's got to be the worst spot to be in, where you're really close. You don't want to signal to your players that you're giving up on the season. But at the same time, reality and analytics are telling you another thing. Like, that's an awful spot to be. Like, but you look at, like, the defending cup champs, right?
Yep.
All of a sudden, they had $7 million in cap space. Like, presto. They've used some of it already. They get a big goal-scoring enigma out of Washington. You look at the other combatants in the Western Conference. So, the Oilers wanted Tanev.
Yep.
That was kind of out there. They didn't get him, but they went and got some forwards from Anaheim. So, Adam Henrique, who's a terrific player, will be an Edmonton Oiler. The Jets went and got Monahan to fix some of their center ice position. He's been fantastic for that. Every game I watch the Jets, I'm like, wow, what an addition.
And that's the whole art of it, is finding the guy who can come into your place and be a lot better than he was wherever he was.
Yeah. The Avs haven't done anything, right?
No.
No. But hold it.
Hold it.
Look at
breaking news.
Brandon Bauer's on it. They have done something. This is real time. Oh, they got Sean Walker. There you go.
Many Stars fans were hopeful.
They have been busy. They also got Casey Mittelstadt from Buffalo. Forward, talented guy for Bowen Byram. Sean Walker they picked up for Ryan Johansson. Good stuff, BB.
Look at that.
I don't understand. Oh, that was the earlier one. Curtis McDermott they traded, yeah. To get him out of there. He was playing like 2 minutes if he was in the lineup, so... Good work. Look at that. We're breaking it here. This will be listened to like 4 days from now. Be like,
we knew that.
Breaking news indeed. The Canucks.
We knee jerk when the Stars are 1-3-3 or whatever. Like, other teams just really just go.
Oh, I know.
And you're just like, wow. Like, I honestly thought for a while that they were the best team in the league, the Canucks.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay. So, and that, and it goes to show you what can happen in the playoffs. Like, so I'm a fan. So I'm like, yeah, you
got a hell of a goalie.
You want to win that division.
Thatcher, Demko. They might wear him out, though.
You don't want to go into that 2-3, right?
No, you
don't. And then you're watching.
You're
watching Toronto and Boston, and you're like, well, they're going to have to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the way the structure is. If you're good, you need to beat a good team in the first round, if
you
that's the case.
Yes, true. But at the same time, I'm trying not to go back to 99 all the time, but it's what we know.
Yep.
They knew they had to get through Edmonton in a hurry.
Yep.
Right? Like, they just knew it. You had to get through them. You have to have something left down the road. And that's the problem with 2-3.
Yep.
It's that you're probably not getting through them in four games.
Right.
If it takes you seven, it's seven against a team that is basically your mirror image or an equal. They think they have a legitimate chance to win it all too.
Yeah.
Like, you look back to when the Stars played the Oilers in the opening round in 99, like, the Oilers didn't think they were going to win the cup.
No.
They wanted to spoil some parties in that, but the 2-3 now is two legitimate Stanley Cup champs. One is gone in a matter of 2 weeks. They play at times like five, six more games than the San Jose Sharks played this season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's upsetting. In the autopsy from last year, I remember them saying that they spent way too much time with Seattle. That had they been able to get through Seattle, then they would have been a much better team against Vegas.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
And especially if you're going two time zones and all the other stuff. Yep. But look, it's an arduous journey. You're going to have to...
Hardest trophy in sports.
Yes. You have to have some luck and some health and... you have to, you know, draw the right opponent at times and have your goaltender play out of his mind at the right time and all these things going on. Win in overtime.
Oh, the overtime
game,
thing.
All that. Their Stars are ending up in overtime a lot right now, which is probably a good thing.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes adversity can be good.
Just the idea that it's that tight net. And I know come playoff time, they're not playing 3-on-3 and they're not going to shootouts. But I think there's something that builds up.
Well,
from
you put a 20 or 21 year old in a high pressure situation, it's going to help them, hopefully.
The Kings, are we still counting them as one of the ones in the West?
And it could be the first-round opponent if you win the division.
What are they doing? Everyone keeps talking like they need a goalie, but I don't know.
I don't know either.
Maybe they've got it in Talbs.
The interesting thing about
T-Bot
or whatever his name is that the Stars have good memories of him. So if that's...
that's a nice way of putting it.
I'm just saying. If that's the opponent and that's the goalie, there is some good history in that matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. So... Do you think Jim Nill is done?
No. I don't know why. There's two sides of this, and the people within the organization that we talk with and everything, I think they're kind of being pulled one way or the other. And this is the oddest revelation in my mind is losing Joel Hanley really hurt people in this organization. And I love Joel Hanley. This is not a slight against him. Okay, I mean, he's a really good guy, but he was a seventh defenseman, and losing him, you think, okay, well, that's just the business of sports. No, they're like, man, we didn't want to lose that guy. And so now if you're bringing other guys in, someone's got to go out. And so now I really think the management is like, do we want to further mess with the chemistry that's in that room right now? And I do believe that's an issue that they're talking about. So yes, we want to get the best players we can, but we also don't want to have to send somebody away who, you know, might be one of the guys who helped boost the aura that's in the room, like Joel Hanley did.
So they have two goalies. They have seven or eight D that can play.
Well, and you got two guys in the minors who came up and played,
right.
So that's good.
Yeah. Only 12 healthy forwards right now.
And one who needs to get in the lineup for sure, right?
Like Sagan may be back during the homestand.
Correct. And he has to be in the lineup.
But
okay, but and if the other guy, I don't think he's coming back. But
Dadonov?
Yeah, but you can't take Stankoven out now. So now again, you say you only have 12 healthy forwards, but if you add another forward and both these other guys come back, now does that create a problem?
I don't know.
I honestly do think they're talking about that.
It's a like, real. I think they are too, Mike.
Like
what
adding,
a revelation by you.
Adding too much can actually be a bad thing sometimes.
Yeah, or alter things. We were talking about this before one of the home games. There haven't been very many of them.
No,
I just remember speaking before the game on radio that it's always a weird time of year because you have. You have individuals who've been integral to what you've had going on.
Yes.
And you got to move them on to get a piece. And then that person, friends and gave his blood and sweat and guts to everything, has to sit from a distance and watch all his buddies.
Yep.
Who he's happy for, but at the same time wanted to be a part of it, win a cup.
Yep.
That has to be one of the most difficult things to do for a hockey player at this level.
Yeah.
To do that. And that those are the hard decisions that you have to make. And it does have a lot to do with what you just said too. Like how much do you want to mess up your room?
Right.
And I don't think a lot of GMs nowadays want to do that.
No.
They would rather err on the side of caution. Whereas back in the day it was like, well, We need a fly in the ointment here, you know?
Well, so I remember the whole Red Wings trade deadline in 99, where, I mean, we were going, and even some of the players are like, that's Chris Chelios. That's Wendell Clark. Ranford,
yeah.
You know, it was just like, they just upset the apple cart.
Yeah. I think
3 weeks before
I think
the
Rangers
started.
Did that once, too.
Well, and then the Devils changing their coach like 3 weeks before
like,
the playoffs.
Like, just... basically rejigged their core.
Yes.
With veterans. And, you know, there was no cap or anything. It was just, they were literally, you know, Doyle Brunson and people sitting around at a poker table
yes.
back then. It was just like trying to bluff one another and then shoving chips to the middle of the table. And it was crazy.
Yeah.
High stakes poker. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll know. By the time they take the ice against the Anaheim Ducks on Friday night.
You're smarter than I am.
Not really.
What do you think? Do you think they need a player? Do you think they're going to go after one? Do you think they're done?
I would think that there could be the possibility of adding something.
Another defenseman?
It's a weird thing, though, because I didn't get a chance to mention it last night because I was too busy talking about Stankoven and Johnston. But I'm not a huge analytics guy in that. But I have asked, like, DeBoer about it. You know, how much stock do you put in something like this? Do you believe in it or whatever? And if you look at goals and expected goals and goals against and expected goals against, the Stars are completely inverted in that.
Correct.
Where they score a ton. They're one of the best offensive teams in the league. And yet the expected goals suggest they're about mid-pack.
Right.
And then in goals against, they're about mid-pack in goals against and probably – maybe a little bit more after last night again, although it's tough at this time of year to move things around, statistically speaking, and affect things. But their expected goals against, they should be in the top five.
Yeah.
Now, that's sport logic that comes up with that. And it's, you know, it's one of the major databases that we have access to. They Correct. Have teams have their own individual ones in that. But that would suggest to you that they're just fine defensively. You don't really need anything that way. But they could use a little pop offensively. But then you're like, well, hold it here now. They can outscore any of their Correct. Issues, or at least they have. Why would they need something on that side? It's always just about depth. I mean,
yeah.
You look, they have – we'll talk about lines here in a second, but they have a bunch of really good lines. Maybe they would want something different on their depth line at this point. I don't know. Maybe they're happy.
Well, the one wild card and all that is Maverick Bork. Because I think in watching him these last two or three years in Traverse City, he's their number one penalty killer. He is a good two-way forward. So if you had to bring him in and say we could get some pop on the fourth line and not hurt ourselves, I do think they have that card to play.
Yeah. Well, and I heard it. I forget who was talking about Logan Stankoven the other day, and it was they were essentially saying he's like having a deadline
yeah.
addition, and you're not wrong.
No,
you're not wrong. If you could go out there right now and acquire a guy, I'm not saying like, look, Logan's not
no.
going to stay on an 82 goal pace right. or whatever he's on at this point for his life in the NHL, but let's say. Okay, you can go find a guaranteed 40-goal scorer for nothing at the deadline.
Yeah.
Just add him. That's what you're doing.
Seems like a pretty good move.
Yes, it does. You're deeper. You're better.
Well, and that's why I go to Maverick. I mean, that's the one, like, you know, obviously there are D-men down there, and there's, you know, whoever else you want to talk about. That's a pretty special prospect to have. And like I said, we'll see. I mean, but if they had to play that card, I think that'd be a really interesting card to play because he is a versatile player.
Yeah, just again, it just depends on where you're putting people.
Where's Sagan, where's Dadonov, yes, and all that kind of stuff.
All that stuff. What would you trade for me?
You know what's funny is I wrote the story, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago where I had to do the top pairs on each team. And I went with you and Ralph and Razor, and you made fun of me at the time and everything like that. But a lot of people, like you're a lot. Of
no, no, what, I'm not sucking up for praise.
No, I know.
What would you trade me for?
Oh, to get rid of you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just so you know, I'd trade you for a bucket of steam and a couple left skate laces.
Interesting. You know what?
That's the value you
have. I think what a good
have.
GM does. Is he reads the value of the asset. And so I would say, could we take Daryl and put him in Vancouver or Calgary where, you know, the Canadians don't really know hockey that well. And so then you could kind of fool them, catch, you know, maybe a guy who doesn't really understand that you're not as good as people think you are.
Oh, I got you.
And then...
That would make sense.
So then I would try and get a lot for you because there is a perception...
Yeah, you're bamboozling people
I'm
with
trying to.
The trade.
There's a perception that you're actually good.
That's pretty sharp.
But we're here. We
I
know.
Would agree with that. You'd get a good analyst in return that
That's
way.
That's right.
Yeah.
Young guy. We need a little bit of youth in that.
Somewhere where
chair.
They haven't done their scouting. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Just take advantage of maybe a new GM somewhere else for
Seattle,
you to deal
maybe.
With. Hey, a newbie. And in hindsight, and after that statement by you, I think I would just put you on waivers and clear my pod cap space. And then I'd sign. You know what? I'd sign executive P. Rush aficionado Tom Holy to just be a full-time co-host with me.
I think it would be fun.
I'd tell him, put your dreams of being a general manager in the National Hockey League or president of a team away. It's time for you to come home.
Yeah.
And into the warm bosom of the Razor Boy and the Podman Rush.
And what's the future of being an assistant GM anyways?
There's none.
There's none.
Whereas this is a rocket ship right now, the Podman Rush. The P Rush, as he likes to call it. Anyway, we digress. Other questions? And just spitballing. I'm sure there are people wondering and all that. Was Sagan the true key to the so-called Mustang line?
It sure looks that way right now. I think here's the thing. I think the true key is all three together.
Hmm. That is a salient point by you.
Mason's Mason because he's such a high event player. But the fact that those two guys had their chemistry and kind of sucked him into the vortex, as you say, helped him a great deal. And now when Duchesne doesn't have a guy that he can play off of and, you know, not think, so to speak, and the two just know where they are, I think it really did pull Mason in.
It's bizarre, though, isn't it?
They've
been near silent. Well, Sagan's been out, and it actually started a little bit before. They had tons of chances. They just couldn't score. And they seem to be auditioning right wingers.
They did last game.
Game to game and within the game.
Like,
just trying to find something that'll spark them again and get them going. Here's another one. Is the Stars' leading scorer's point total, and at time, a little bit of the consistency to play in that, any concern, or is it just a byproduct of basically the shared load of offense this year for this club?
Yeah, that, and I think he overshot. Are you talking about Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah, he overshot potentially his what the normal expectation should be last year. Like, I love...
The point total?
Yeah.
Like, I
love him. I think he's really good. I think what he did last year, that's the second highest in franchise history.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a ton
of points. Like the old saying, right? Like, be careful. Like, if you score 30 goals, you will always be called a 30-goal scorer.
Correct.
But they will always expect 30 goals out of you.
I believe in that building we were in last night, there was a 51-goal scorer who...
You talking Chichu?
Faded away after his 51 goals. Yeah. So, yes, it's hard. I like Jason's game still. He comes and goes. I think what's interesting about what he does is how he sees the game differently. And so he needs to, in my opinion, get back to that. Meaning shooting from crazy angles, taking chances. You know, Duchesne's done that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like you're watching a game going like, oh, Hitch wouldn't like that. And I think Jason's the same way. And even Pete is funny because we talk about how hard Jason works and how much he studies. He goes, well, he doesn't study about defense. And then I think it's the same with Matt. And I mean, that is who this team is.
Yeah.
And it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
And so now if he's going to do that, if he's going to be that guy, then get back to being that guy. Fire the puck.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I thought Pete made a interesting statement yesterday too, where he said we're just leaving that line together.
Yes.
There's no more breaking them up, tinkering, nothing. They're gonna stay together.
Well, and then Brope, who's been just silent, getting that goal last night. You never know how that can really change things and get a little confidence going.
Yeah. So some teams' reality is that they don't have a legit or elite number one line at all. What they have are like three number threes, which is you can sit there and you can slather them with praise for being so hardworking and all that, but they just don't have the ability to do what a true number one line should be doing, or even a two, but certainly not a number one. And the Stars have looked like a team that at certain times has had three different lines interchange as the number one line.
Correct.
Right?
It's a great feeling.
For a long stretch, the Duchesne line acted and produced like the Stars' number one line.
Correct.
They really did. And periodically, as always, maybe not as consistently as in some previous years, the Hintz line looks like a number one line. They would be a number one line.
They're still
on
close
a
to
whack
a
team.
Point a game on, yes. You know, all yeah. three players.
Oh, this is as nitpicky as we can get on the P-Rush. Currently.
It's one game, but boy, what a
game.
No,
I don't think it's even one game.
No, you're right. It's six games.
Like, since the All-Star break, Wyatt Johnston, to me, is the Stars' best center iceman.
Yeah.
He's been the most productive. He kills penalties. He's vastly improved his face-off prowess.
I make like a big deal out of that, and I ask a lot of people. But, I mean, like, that's a hard thing to do as a young player. And the fact
the good ones get really good in year two.
Yes.
Like Crosby. Crosby got smoked his first year.
Right. They all do.
It's Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
But he understood with a little bit of strength added and some experience and just the pride and the understanding that I want to start with the puck more.
Yep.
That he got better.
I like Wyatt's technique too. Like he is so low to the ice when he's trying to take these face off. Yeah. Like he changed something.
Leverage.
And it's working.
Yeah, but I would say currently the Johnston Ben Stankoven line is their best line. It's their number one line right now, and
it makes it
such a difficult matchup for the opposition because you can't play your top pair, you can't play your top four against three different lines.
No,
it's too hard. They're going to wear you out. So one of those three lines for the Stars is going to get their third pair.
Yeah.
And it's hard to have a third pair that can truly handle an elite, you know, quote unquote number one line.
Yeah,
that's a massive advantage,
and especially in a seven game series.
Yes.
I would hope.
Yes. And then the other thing is, I crossed my eyes, my toes, my fingers, everything that Jake can find a true groove, like a true groove. And maybe it's going to come at the absolute perfect time as they cruise into the Stanley Cup playoffs, because it's been hard for him to get into that you know, like Scott Wedgwood when Jake got injured, got on one of those runs where, you know, he's in there every night and the level of play from him was high and it was consistent.
Yeah.
And they needed it. I mean, it was perfect. It was a great opportunity for him, and it helped the team. And for whatever reason, it's just been elusive for Otter this year.
It's such a mental position. And it seems
really?
At times, you know better than anyone. I mean, like, I was talking to Yanni yesterday at the morning skate, because I was telling him that Seve loves defensemen, and we're talking about, and Yanni's agreeing, of course, oh, defenseman, the hardest job in the world. And he goes, no. Goaltender's a harder job than defenseman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're right. Like, to think what you have to do to be a goalie, and then at times it looks like he's just trying too hard.
Well, I loved the other day I had a quick chat with him just because, you know, I always wait around till they have a good game and then talk to them about
what they do,
right? Whatever perceived struggles might have been going on in that, right? And yeah, and in turn what's going good, how we feel better in that. But he made the statement I thought was awesome. And it's probably conversations with Jeff Reese and maybe Ben Bishop, who's in the organization, whoever, right? But he talked about, I want to just stop always worrying about what might happen. What, you know, it's about trust. A lot of it's about trust. And it's not just on the Stars goaltending or Jake at all. What you just talked about, when you have offensive players and you got a giddy up going the other way, you're going to give something up defensively.
Correct.
A little bit more. And I think they've certainly done that this season. They haven't been as tidy defensively as they, not even, I would say close, but not to the level that they were last year. But he was talking about how I just want to concentrate on the first thing.
Yes.
Like, you don't have to worry about a rebound. And he was pretty funny, but he's like, you don't have to worry about a rebound if the first shot goes in. So let's just lock on what my job is right here and trust that this guy's going to get picked up and that, you know, that's going to happen. Just trust that all those things and deal with them when they happen. But don't start dealing with them in your head prior to them actually occurring.
Well, and everything we say about...
And that really... I'm sorry, Mike.
No, it's
But
fine.
That really is the essence of that position.
Right.
It is.
And I was going to say, everything we say about him tells you that's the exact right strategy.
Yes.
Because he's 6'4", yeah. 220, or 6'5", 225. Like, that less is more.
Yeah.
You have all this. You're taking away a ton. You don't have to just make an acrobatic save. Just let the puck hit you.
Yeah. Sounds easy, but...
Yeah, I know.
It's not that easy. But I mean, Jake's a top five goaltender in this league. And if he finds that consistent level there with their ability to score up front and a deeper defense core now, that's why a lot of people just look and they're like, the Dallas Stars are a legitimate Stanley Cup contender.
I think on paper, and again, they always say, well, we got to do it on the ice, but you're like, whoa, that's a nice place to be if you're a hockey fan, if you're a Stars fan.
Yeah. I think the injection of the kids that we started talking about, their ability to just keep playing the game when they're down and come back against teams, and whatever's going to go on here in the next 48 hours to see what the team is either bolstered with or here we go.
Yeah.
This is the group, and it's time to get all of our – ducks in a row. They'll get the Anaheim Ducks in their sights.
You and that.
As they get their ducks in a row here in
so
a day
many
or two.
Puns.
I think that's it for today. I mean, more questions than answers, yep. as always.
But I will say this, going forward, I think they have a good plan. Like, you look at what happened last year with Wedgie getting hurt and how it, you know, hurt Otter. They studied it. They're like, okay, what do we need to do to make sure Otter's ready for the playoffs? So whatever they did last year, I think they've grown on that. And then when you look at guys like Duchesne or you look at guys like Roppe, well, they haven't had the, you know, 100-point seasons. You know, they've had hiccups. And I think they look at that and go, okay, here we got 15 games, 18 games, and we're going to address all of these things in these 18 games. So I do think they'll be in a good – as long as they're healthy.
Yeah.
I think they'll be in a really good place when the playoffs
come. Yeah, I agree. So, very Dallas Stars these last couple of games in that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just total Dallas Stars where you're like, they just played the worst team in the National Hockey League, although they're vying with Chicago for that title, but the worst team, and it was a massive struggle. They barely led, and yet, if you just strike all of that from the record and you clear the table with all that and you just concentrate on, okay, they played two games. They're like the third or fourth best team in the National Hockey League. They just played two games against maybe the worst team in the league. Heading into it, you're like, okay, well, that's guaranteed four points, right? And you're like, yeah. So at the end of it, as we sit here today, what did they get out of it?
They got 4 points.
Yeah, there you go.
And what? And the other? And meanwhile, the other teams are losing their points or their games in hand, and
it's just a rather circuitous route to 4 points that we saw. And you know why? Because it is interesting, and the Podman Rush, extremely high tone, and I think this week especially, because of Tom Holley.
Whoa.
Provocative.
Ooh.
Talk to you next week, everybody.
You've been on the Podman Rush with Razor Ray and Mike Ica, presented by Kingsville Brewery, an official production of the Dallas Stars. To stay up to date on all things Texas hockey, visit DallasStars.com or download the official Dallas Stars app today.
Let's never make that noise again, Mike.
The Frisco Fighters are back for another electrifying season of indoor football. Don't miss the action-packed, high-scoring intensity that Frisco Fighters Indoor Football has to offer when they hit the turf in March at Comerica Center in Frisco. From unique theme nights to exciting giveaways, the Frisco Fighters provide entertainment for the whole family. Get your tickets today at friscofighters.com.